I cannot do it myself. Now, we may not have been in such exact dire straits as this, but we too are well acquainted with sorrow. Almost every day we're confronted with it in one way or another. Our Lord Jesus lives, but that sting of death has been permitted to persist, at least for a time. We're allowed to feel its sting. Our loved ones still die. We still die. We still feel the pain and the isolation of the depths. We too toil and labor in a land that is not our own. Our sins are forgiven. We confess them. But they still have consequences, right? We still feel the temporal punishment for sin. Like if we drink too much, we're probably going to ruin our life or our liver one. Or if you're a liar, your soul is going to slowly suffocate to death. We know sorrow well. We know it well. We have plenty of regret. We have plenty of shame, plenty of dysfunction and fear. Because in this life, we are all too easily seduced into sin because we are weak. The flesh, it's weak. We are weak. It's almost like we long for it, right? It's almost like we long for drama. I mean, we were just after Sunday school this morning. It's almost like we're looking for that next thing that we can get upset about, that we can unleash our anger, our wrath upon the world that's been pent up for so long. For us, Psalm 130 is the cry of anyone striving to ascend out of the abyss of sin. Even as Jonah cried out to the Lord out of the belly of the fish, Jonah said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice, Jonah says. The deep in which we find ourselves is simply life as we know it right now. On this side of glory, on this side of perfection. It's the way things are. Things are not now as they should be and as they will be. We are infected with both original and actual sin. They plague us, they hurt us, they wound us, they terrorize us. What we call life, it's a kind of slavery, in a sense anyway, a kind of living death that we encounter in this world. As the Lord says, verily I say unto you, whoever commits sin, guess what? Is a slave to sin. Everyone who realizes this, who understands his own corruption, her own failings, just as everyone who suffers injustice and the loss of loved ones cries out from the depths, just like the psalmist today. And that cry for mercy, that cry for rescuing, that desperate need for repentance, it is the universal character of fallen men and women. We need to recognize our reality, not just cast it off and ignore it as if it doesn't exist. Things don't get better that way. It doesn't get better when we say to ourselves, well, I'm pretty much a good guy. I don't sin. I don't do this or that. I don't do all the things I see on the news. I don't do those terribly evil things. What offense have I ever given? And right then the Word of God convicts us. And it says, if we say that we have no sin, what do? We deceive ourselves. And moreover, the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. We need to own it. That's what I'm getting at. We need to own our sin. That's what Luther meant by sin boldly. He didn't mean to go off and just sin a bunch. He meant own it. Because if we don't own it, we won't confess it. And we can never own the forgiveness that Jesus Christ showers so abundantly and lavishly upon us. We have to own it when we confess that we are indeed sinners. What it means is that we have clung to Jesus, that we have put our hope in Him and not ourselves. It means that we know that Jesus Christ has come precisely to save sinners, as the physician to the sick, as the shepherd to the lost, and the savior of those sinking down into the depths. The psalmist knew this well. It's the foundation of his hope. I mean, look at verse 4. He says, "But with you, O Lord, there is forgiveness." With you, there is forgiveness. If there wasn't, then we could not even stand. We could not endure the wrath of the Lord. We could not face our shame, the shame of our sin. We would have no excuse. We would have no escape. We would be condemned forever in the depths of hell. But the psalm says, with the Lord there is forgiveness. And this great and incredible statement sends us right into praise and glory. Look at verse 5. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning." So in a sense, our slavery to sin, if you can call it that, or being affected by sin, persists in this life. Doing what we do not want to do, Paul says. Doing the things that we hate. That still happens in this life. And we couldn't even stand if we were judged by our own acts. But despite all of that, my soul waits for the Lord. And with Him, I know there is mercy and forgiveness. We wait for Him, our Redeemer. We are more an eager watchman of the morning, more excited than any expectant mother and children just getting out for summer vacation. We are more aware of what's coming to us than the holy angels who watched the tomb on Easter morning. We are more aware and we know more intimately how desperately we need His rescuing and salvation, because it's us, not the angels, who have tasted the depths and who even now cry out from them, our mouths still salty from them. Psalmist now turns then to his fellow slaves. He turns to you and he says, "Israel, Israel." And this is where I was talking when I preached our brother's funeral. My old professor, Dr. Joe, said that when you come upon certain places in Scripture where you can insert your name, do it, right? Israel, Israel, Catherine, Catherine, Bob. Even back there in the Judas corner, Emma. Hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. Three things in the psalm that are said to be with the Lord. Verse 4, there's forgiveness that's with the Lord. And then in verse 7, there is mercy and there's plenteous redemption. All those things are with the Lord. Now, our forefathers in the faith, as far as I can tell, unanimously didn't read these three things as kind of abstractions. They read them as three different descriptions and names of a single person. And that's how we should read them as well. Because the one who is forgiveness, who is mercy, who is plenteous redemption, is the Messiah. He is the very Son of God, our advocate, Jesus Christ. He is with the Lord, and indeed is Himself the Lord. He has taken our burden and suffered our punishment, and even bears the marks of his payment in his risen flesh, risen from the dead and ascended to the Father, that he might plead our case and insist on the Father's judgment to pave the way for humanity to be with the Lord. And because it's he and no one else that pleads for us, the Father accepts the sacrifice and the ransom of the Son as full and complete. You have to do nothing. Have to do nothing more to it. He freely gives it to you because he loves you. This deep has no lasting claim on you. You do not belong to it, even though its flavor is still in your mouth. You do not belong to it. You belong to Jesus. Justice has no more to ask of you because Christ is risen from the dead and the strong man lay on the battlefield defeated by the man who is infinitely stronger, Jesus Christ. Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is forgiveness. He is plenteous redemption. He is mercy. He has done more than is needed. Our cup runneth over. He has paid for more sins than we could ever commit. The precious blood of Jesus Christ was so copious in its abundance as to redeem the sins of the whole world, Jews and Gentiles alike, to wash the entire globe from its defilement with a flood of mercy. It is, after all, not merely human blood. It's the blood of God, who is infinite and has taken up blood to be our redemption. And his blood would have sufficed to redeem a million worlds, and yet he gives it to ours. And he gives it to you. And we are bold to pray with those who cried out for the death of Jesus. Those who said, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." This is our prayer. And with this, and in this, we can lie down and we can sleep, whether that be for an evening until the sun rises again in the morning, or it be in God's good acre to await for the resurrection of the flesh. It does not matter. For with the Lord in heaven, there is mercy. And even our risen Savior Jesus. And because of that, with us there is hope. Hope and peace. Even from the depths. In Jesus' name, amen.